You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean, Vanessa, and Jared. An iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared Haben, joined by the beautiful Vanessa Grimaldi, all the way from Montreal. Canadian. That's how you say it, right?
Canadian, yeah. Hey,
Canadian,
guys.
Yes. Mark and Eason in studio. Dean is still traveling the world. We're not sure if he's ever going to come back at this point. We have a couple things coming up. I want to get to the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper thing from the Oscars because that's very juicy and I have some thoughts on that. I also want to play a little game with Vanessa, maybe a potential 10 questions. Now, Vanessa, you don't know what these questions are, so
no.
Be prepared. We also have a guest coming in later that was actually on The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited. We have a great show for you. But first,
hiring can be challenging these days. There are multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, and a confusing review process. But there's one place where you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Now that place is ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. Now, as applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. Now, ZipRecruiter is so effective, 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. I remember when I first moved to LA, I was trying to find jobs. I was actually trying to find a bartending job just to make some money to support myself while I moved out here. So I love that ZipRecruiter is here to help everybody going through that process right now. And also right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/date, D-A-T-E. Hey, this is like the first code that isn't Dean. I'm kind of digging it. Now, that's ZipRecruiter.com/date, D-A-T-E. It's the smartest way to hire. You can check out ZipRecruiter right now for free. Once again, just head to ZipRecruiter.com/date, D-A-T-E. Check it out today.
A wonderful guest who is in studio with us right now. You might remember him from TMZ, Dax Holt. Dax, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for being on.
Nice little reception here. Yeah, thanks guys for having me.
Oh, of course. It is our pleasure. So, Dax, a lot of people might remember you from your TMZ days. You were a producer and also an on-air personality.
Yep. 12 years. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit, just a little blip in my
just a little one. But people also have seen you on Access Hollywood, which is Access Live now, I believe.
I know. I don't know why they dropped the Hollywood part of it, but Access.
Yeah, just Access. Now, because I was on Access a couple weeks ago doing a Bachelor recap, and I said Access Hollywood.
Did they shun you?
No, I said it to my fiance, Ashley. She's like, it's Access. And I was like, oh, I guess I never noticed the Hollywood drop off.
Yeah.
Whoopsies.
I've actually ran into Ashley quite a few times there.
Oh, okay.
We've talked in the green room. We talk all about you behind your back. No,
yeah, all bad things. Just don't believe a word she has to say about me. So, Dax, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I, you know, gave a little intro, mm-hmm. but give us a little bit more in detail about you and your background.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously I was at TMZ for 12 years, and then I decided I just needed a change in my life. I had been there. It had been a great ride. I was there from, like, literally day one before mm-hmm. anyone even knew what the hell TMZ was, to the rise of TMZ and breaking some of the biggest stories in Hollywood. And then I just, like, I need a change in my life. And so left there. Then I did the Live with Kelly competition.
Yep, I saw that.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was fun. It was just so different from the TMZ world to then go, you know, to this huge ABC show. And mm-hmm. they have got an audience. And so that was really fun. Came in second place there. And then some unknown guy named Ryan Seacrest got the gig.
Who is that guy? How did he beat you out?
No, I love Ryan, so I'm very, very happy for him.
Ryan is really good at his job.
He's so good.
I know.
He is so good.
I was just thinking about him before coming on. How does he have time to record all this stuff? And then he also has like a segment with Montreal and on Virgin Radio. How does he have time in the day? Is he in a relationship?
Yes.
But we
here's
know,
the
yeah.
thing. Here's so the thing that I don't think people realize how, like, how much this guy works is he's literally mm-hmm. filming the Live with Kelly show, Live with Ryan and Kelly, mm-hmm. and then he'll get on a plane and fly back and do American Idol, then fly back over there. I mean, it's unbelievable. He is the hardest working person in entertainment.
And he does radio with Tanya in the morning. Yep. I mean, Mark and Easton, you guys are here for that. So he does morning radio. He does Live with Kelly. He flies to do American Idol. He does all these different events. I would say, so long story short, you finishing second to him, that's pretty good.
I'm okay with that.
As you well should
yeah.
be.
I'm okay with that.
I'm sorry. So continue.
So then decided that I wanted to start up my own thing. Really, it came down to I have a lot of experience in breaking news over many, many years. And I had a lot of contacts still hitting me up with information and stories and all this. And so I created the Hollywood Pipeline. Mm-hmm. It's HollywoodPipeline.com mm-hmm. along with a podcast. And I explain it to people as I'm not trying to beat TMZ. That's not what I'm trying to do. I see it as TMZ and Instagram had a little baby, and that is what the Hollywood Pipeline is. So it's all visual content. It's photos. It's videos. We've actually covered you guys quite a few times.
Oh, well, I appreciate there. That. Thank you.
And it's just a place for people to go to get lost and look through paparazzi photos or red carpets or mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, like the other day, I put up an exclusive set of Selena Gomez on the beach down in Mexico, mm-hmm. and people love mm-hmm. her.
So, and her white bathing suit.
Exactly. Those are yeah. ours. We have yeah. those exclusive. And then I do a lot of set photos, so like a big – you know, Marvel movie is coming out. I'll normally release photos of them shooting the movie, which people go insane about.
I am one of those yes. people that go insane for set photos. I've Googled Avengers Endgame set photos to just see, and I've seen some with Captain America and Robert Downey Jr. Making it look like they were going back to the 2012 Avengers, possible time travel. Anyway, I'm one of those people. So I'm your audience.
I'm speaking to you, exactly. Yes. And then, like, we got a lot of traffic off the Joker film set. We were filming, like when Joaquin Phoenix was out there filming all this stuff in New York, people were going nuts over it. Just like mm-hmm. millions of views on YouTube to watch him running through the streets.
I've watched that video numerous times. Was it the one where he trips over himself?
I had like 19 videos. I mean, but they're the tripping one. Him
in the
getting
train
hit by
station.
A cab. Yeah. So if you want to see him, if you haven't seen him yet, it's on Hollywood Pipeline's YouTube page.
Well, the Joker's such a fascinating character, which is why we'll keep doing what you're doing because you're killing the game.
So how
did you get involved in TMZ in the first place? Did you go to school for journalism and then?
So I went to school for radio, TV, film down at Cal State Fullerton. And then I had to do an internship. So I ended up working with Extra, the other entertainment show.
Mm-hmm.
And TMZ and Extra are sister companies, and Harvey was working upstairs, and he was creating this unknown website at the time, and walked in, put out my hand, said, "Hey, I hear that you're looking for people, or you need interns or whatever, and is there anything I can do for you?" And he sent me out on a red carpet literally that weekend.
Wow.
And I
do you remember what red carpet it was?
It was a PETA event.
Oh.
It was a PETA event. Where was that at? I think it was at Paramount Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and I was on crutches at the time because I had
no.
busted both of my ankles doing a gymnastics trick and literally popped out both of them. So I was double, like, casted up on crutches, gimped down to this red carpet, and everyone started to come up and talk to me. I don't know if they felt bad for me or what the case was, but Pam Anderson talked to me, and I was at the very, very end. And you guys know, doing, like, red carpets, once you get halfway down, you kind of get over it, right? And you kind of like, I don't really care about these people, and you move on, right?
A lot of it's the same questions. It's more of the same. So these poor people that are at the end of the carpet.
They get no one. They get no love. I am at the very end, and it's literally like Pink comes over to me. Kristen Cavallari, who was the biggest deal at that time, because I was right when like Laguna Beach was massive. She comes over. Dennis Rodman. I just sat there, and everyone started talking to me, and I come back, and Harvey's like, well, I think I need you a part of my team. And I literally handed him my resume that day, and he ripped it up and threw it in the trash. He didn't even look at it.
And just hired you on the spot. Wow.
Well, I feel like that's such a testament to people who want to – people are so afraid of being rejected. But you just went in there, you shook his hand, and you asked him, you know, like, do you need someone, period? You're even offering to do it for free to be an intern. So I think that's just a testament. Like, just be afraid of failure, because you never know how you'll get ahead. And I feel like you have such a great – aura about you. You're always smiling. So like you attract, I guess that's what people were attracted to. You have such a great energy about you. But since you worked on TMZ, you have Hollywood Pipeline now. And you know, I know how Jared wants to talk about the Oscars and stuff. So I was actually thinking Julia Roberts, huge fan of hers. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed. She's beautiful. And you never ever see her being photographed with her husband, because sometimes I forget that she's actually married to someone.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking of, since this is a relationship podcast and a lot of our followers do have Instagram and they do follow us on Instagram and they look up to couples who are out in the media or in the spotlight. So hashtag couple goals, people like Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, who are like fully out there exposing their relationship, Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds. But then you have people like Julia Roberts and her husband. You never hear of any of their stories that are happening in their personal marriage. What kind of advice would you give to our listeners who are in a committed relationship and want to expose a relationship on social media?
What would my advice to that?
Yeah, like, you know, like
the share button.
No, to share it?
Yeah, just click the share button and it's posted. You're fine.
I think, you know, with Julia Roberts, she's just been a very private person her whole life. You know, she's been such a big star that I think that she guards her relationship and her children's privacy and all of that. So that's why, you know, you can be a big star in Hollywood and never get photographed. And that's, you don't go to the Craig's restaurants of LA. You don't go to these places.
But I mean, Craig's is so good. Have you ever tried their truffle pizza?
I haven't been there, but I've heard it's amazing. No, but she avoids going out where she knows paparazzi are going to take her photo, and she doesn't have social media, and she's picked a different life. For people that actually want that attention or want to express that they are with someone and that they like saying I'm with so-and-so, I say share as much as you want. You know,
oh, yeah, totally.
Put it out there for the people. And at the end of the day, what's the worst going to happen? You break up and you got to delete the photos. But at least during that moment, people saw how happy you were, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's people just put their best self forward on social media. And so for me, I want to make sure I'm in a relationship now and I'm trying. I'm like, I'll post a picture now and here and there, but I'm not over the top posting pictures of our relationship, because I feel like it's so important to preserve that part of your relationship with your significant other.
You also went from a very high profile relationship where you had that. You didn't have to post anything because everyone knew your relationship. So I think maybe you're looking at it now as like, I've gone through a super high profile relationship. Now, how do I change that and do something a little different? Because maybe this would work better for me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also the expectation that we put out there on social media. All these amazing vacations that we do with our significant other. Mm-hmm. All these amazing dates that we go on with our significant other. And that's what people now have expectations. Things like even The Bachelor, like all these elaborate dates and stuff that we went on, Jared, you went on. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of an unrealistic expectation when it comes to the dating world.
Yeah, but people have
to take social media.
You're absolutely right. But people have to take accountability for that on themselves. In terms of the expectations they have for relationships, because no one's going to post a bad picture of themselves or a bad time in their relationship on Instagram. Everything's going to be fluffed. Everything is going to be seventh heaven, cloud nine. Same thing with The Bachelor, you know? So I think people with social media or even television shows about dating, you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt because, of course, it's not always going to be that good. Just like I feel like everybody who posts on Facebook who's not a celebrity, they're not going to post a picture of them, their significant other and them in a fight.
Yeah, you don't see people updating their Facebook posts like, oh, so-and-so just cheated on me, so we broke up. Like, you don't see that post.
Other than it's the Kardashian. I mean, the Kardashians. I respect that, though. I respect how open all their entire life is.
Oh,
the good and the bad and the ugly.
I respect the hell out of the Kardashians.
Listen, they are the smartest people out there. And I've said this for so many years, like Kim Kardashian, Kris Jenner, smartest people.
Kris Jenner is a genius.
Be able to work the media and work the fan base, all of that in your favor all the time, it's unbelievable.
And the idea that they've been able to overcome so much, because they've gotten so much flack for people saying, what's their even talent? What are they famous for? And they just keep overcoming it,
I think it's harder to be famous for being famous for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's the hardest thing because usually it's just 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. And what other family out there has had so many like pivotal moments? Like for, Bruce's transition into Caitlyn.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't have scripted that out. Or Lamar Odom's storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Tristan Thompson.
And Tristan and Jordan. Like all of these things that I can't imagine having so much drama in my close-knit family. Mm-hmm. And they've had it all.
They really have had it all. Well, good for them. But we're not just here to talk about the Kardashians. Dax, you also talk about taking vacations with significant others. Because as Vanessa said, we are a dating podcast. So you have something called Bay.
A vacation.
A vacation. Well, tell us what a vacation is.
Yeah. So, I think that, listen, this is kind of why I wanted to come onto this podcast, because I think it's important for a lot of couples out there that don't really know where they're going with the relationship. They're interested in someone, but they're like, is this going to be for the long haul? And I teamed up with Visit Anaheim, and because I'm from Anaheim, and basically we started talking about it, and they did this big study where they polled 2,000 people just to find out, like, that first trip that you go on with your significant other, is it a positive thing? Is it a negative thing? What is it? And come to find out, like, it really tells a lot about your relationship. I don't know if you remember the first trip that you, well, I guess your guys' trips were a little different when they're being filmed in front of a national audience, but like someone
off
the show, you go on a trip and the results of the study were actually pretty significant. Like most people were saying, I knew that I was with the right person when we were halfway through that trip. And we were away from everyone, and it was just us two in a different environment. And it was like, that was the moment I knew I was supposed to be with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And, I keep telling people, Anaheim offers a lot. I go back to it because it's there, but you've got so much, like Disneyland, and you've got the Great Wolf Lodge down there, Knott's Berry Farm. And I try to tell people, like, do a trip with your significant other, get away, go hang out at an amusement park for a day, because you're not cramped up in a movie theater, kind of not talking in the darkness. You're actually standing in line. You're talking to each other. You're communicating. You're going through a hotel. You're going through flights, and you're really seeing what it's like to be with that person.
An amusement park trip could really make or break a relationship.
Absolutely.
I've been to Universal Studios and Disneyland with significant others, and it's tension filled. You're waiting in line. It's hot. There are crowds. You have anxiety. It's so interesting to think about one day to the amusement park. And in my mind, it is one of those moments where you do learn a lot about your significant other. But I also agree. I think that's one thing about The Bachelor and Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise in particular that does legitimize relationship moving faster, because it does feel like you're traveling with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
When you go on those shows,
except you're traveling with them and their 14 other boyfriends.
True. Yes.
I don't feel like you're traveling with the lead at all.
Oh, see,
you're skipping all the fun stuff. So you're skipping waiting in line at security at the airport. You're skipping sitting next to each other on an airplane. You're skipping like splitting a meal and who's going to pay, like you're skipping all the fun steps to really get to know a person.
Let me rephrase then. Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
Is like that.
Right.
Because then you're actually leaving the compound with the person you're traveling out.
And then you're coming back to the island, but it is very secluded, and it has this bonding to it that is very different than anything I've experienced outside of the Bachelor bubble. I never went to camp as a kid. I didn't do any of that. So I can only really relate it to people who have done those kinds of things, go to camp, because it is like this little getaway that only you guys really know what that experience was like. And I think that's what vacation is all about.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they termed it vacation, but you know, it's like really it. Essentially just a vacation. And mm-hmm.
I'm always a guy for a good pun.
And I got to tell you, out of the results, 37% of people said they fell in love after their first vacation. 23% were like, it didn't work. Because like you said, it is the sitting in line. It's the stuff that's going to piss you off and realize you don't want to be with that person because they're annoying. Like yeah, a backseat driver, right?
It's like the stuff that you find so cute at the beginning when you go on vacation with them and you're spending like 3 complete or 4 complete full days with them. You're like, oh, shit, this is not as cute as I once thought it was. I remember the first trip I went with my now boyfriend. We went to New York City and my biggest thing is budget. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like spending money. I don't care where I am. I can be hanging out in a hole in a wall, but I'm with people. If I'm with people I love, then it's going to be an amazing trip. And he was exactly like that too. So I'm like, perfect. We ended up like splitting the Airbnb. Taylor ended up coming with the guy that she was dating. So we all split it up in 4. And then he's someone, I need to be with someone that takes the lead in booking a reservation for a restaurant. And I suck at that shit. Like, I'm not good at that at all. So I need
help.
To be with
I suck
like,
at booking reservations with Vanessa Grimaldi.
I'm not good at that. I'm like great at other things, but that's one thing. I'm like, if you're good at knowing which restaurants to go to and what places we should go visit, book that and I'll just go along with the ride.
So Vanessa, I want to ask you, because being a female, mm-hmm. what would you say? So if you had a couple come up to you and say, I like this idea of going away, doing a trip, what do we do? Does he have to pay for it or do they split it?
Split.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm just asking. I'm curious because...
Hold on. How long have they been together?
Oh, are you asking me? I don't know. We're a hypothetical couple. So how long has this couple been...
Six months.
If they're vacationing, let's say they've been dating for 6 months. I think splitting's fine.
So you're saying if they've been together for a year or 2 years, then the man should pay?
No, I think that if they've been together for like a month, the man should pay.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm old-fashioned like that.
Depends on how big the trip is, right?
No, not the entire trip, but, you know, dinner. Like, if you guys go out to a really nice dinner.
No, I'm talking about literally like a vacation. Like, you're flying somewhere. You're having to pay for plane flights, hotel.
I've never been spoiled like that.
Oh, hell no. Split it. No, sorry. I misinterpreted.
Yeah, I was like, come on, Jared, what?
Oh, no way. I mean, unless you're talking about a married couple and it's a stay-at-home mom and, you know, the dad is the one
working. Well, then you got a shared bank account.
Yeah, of course. That's different. So that would be, I guess, technically splitting as well. But no, if you're dating for like 6 months and you guys do a vacation.
Trip, you got to split it, right?
Unless it's a Christmas gift or a big gift.
Unless it's like a surprise vacation, mm-hmm. then yeah. If it's a surprise vacation I'm the one that's booking it, I'll be totally fine paying for both of us. But I don't like setting, I'm someone who's so independent when it comes to my finances and I never wanted to be someone that got used to a certain type of lifestyle if I was dating someone who did have a lot of money. Because I'm like, well, what if this relationship ends and I go back to like my penny saving, you know, lifestyle. And I want to be used to, I want to be comfortable with the decisions that I make, not someone else makes.
Okay, that gives me a good question. Is it hard for you guys to do normal dates now after you've done the most extravagant, crazy dates?
Not at all.
No, I love the small dates.
Yeah, you're not like, I could really use a helicopter the roof of a building right now.
No, those are exhausting.
Yeah. Really?
Those are too much.
But is it because cameras are around or just because it's...
It makes it more exciting because the cameras are around. But if I were to go on a helicopter ride with just Ashley, it would be fun. It would be cool, but I would not want to do it all the time. That's like a once a year type thing, a big extravagant one. Yeah. And then, you know, Ashley and I try to go out like at least once a month, have date night. But most of the time, stay in. We order in, watch a movie in pajamas. It's just the best. We are a couple goals. What can I say?
I love it.
Oh, man. But yeah, what about you, Vanessa?
No, I don't like extravagant dates. I like surprises. I like small surprises. Like, oh, we're going out for dinner somewhere and it'll be my favorite takeout restaurant. You know, we'll eat in the car. Like, to me, little moments like that are more significant than puking on a, what was that thing that I did?
What did you puke? Oh, you went into space or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the anti-gravity thing.
The anti-gravity, yes. Here's the thing about big dates too. Expensive date, extravagant dates. It's truly about the environment. Because honestly, every time I go out to dinner and I pay for Ashley because I want to, it's a date night. I'm the guy in the relationship. I'm paying, you know? And so we end up spending, like, for two people, say we spend, like, including tip, $150 because we go to a really nice place. And both
That's
Ashley and I.
That's actually not bad.
It's not terrible, but both Ashley and I come up with the same consensus, which is, did we enjoy this meal as much as we would have had we ordered McDonald's? Mm-hmm. You know? Because we love fast, like, just not like, but you know what I mean? Like, sometimes our favorite date night is, like, going to Burger King. You know? I know that might sound stupid, but
no, I love that.
Like, if I'm ordering a $50, you know, $55 filet from this restaurant, that's really good, but do I enjoy it more than I would have if I ordered a Big Mac? I don't know. I can't tell you that.
I can tell you one of my favorite dates that goes down in history with me and my wife would be I took her on a date, a surprise date to Chuck E. Cheese. And it was just the two of us.
Aww.
And it was so fun. I just bought like here's a loaded card full of tons of money. Go and let's just play games. And it was so different. And there's kids running around everywhere. But it wasn't a typical meal at a Morton Steakhouse. It was us just having fun together.
That's my favorite type of date.
Yeah.
Because I love going out, but I love the element of surprise, doing something different. Now, Chuck E. Cheese is a
dude.
It's an extreme.
Don't.
What about Dave and Buster's?
I've never been to Chuck E. Cheese. But you know. Because we don't have Chuck E. Cheese in Canada.
You guys don't have Chuck E. Cheese in Canada?
I've been to Boomers.
What's
okay.
Boomers?
It's kind of the same idea.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember it was like Discover Zone? Anybody?
Discovery Zone?
Discovery Zone.
Sounds familiar.
Anybody? Uh-huh. It was like the
Jungle Adventures?
It was like the B version of Chuck E. Cheese. Maybe I shouldn't admit that that's where my parents took me as a kid. I love that you brought were you married at the time? Was it your wife or just girlfriend?
It was my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, okay. But I love that idea of bringing her to a Chuck E. Cheese because I always try to think of things that are outside our comfort zone. The problem is Ashley doesn't like to do like play sports or anything. So I would be totally down, like, let's go bowling.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, let's stay in and watch you on Netflix or, you know, so it's like, oh no, we should go to like the batting cages. But she does a good job of being there for me. She'll come to the batting cages. She'll swing the bat. She'll have a good time.
Well, I've got a cool date night if you're interested.
I'm always interested
in
something.
You guys are in Anaheim. There is a place called the Packing House and they've got a secret hidden bar inside the Packing House. You go and you have to like knock on the door.
Oh,
and
I love that. It's,
yeah,
a speakeasy.
Speakeasy. And it's just like a hidden wall and it opens up and it's a door. And they've got this bar in there and it's all candlelit and it's romantic and it's really cool. And it's called the Blind Rabbit. I love it. We've gone there a couple times.
What's it called again?
The Blind Rabbit.
The Blind Rabbit.
The Blind Rabbit.
I will certainly check that out. Easton, I saw you shaking your head. Have you been to the Blind Rabbit?
I haven't been to the Blind Rabbit, but I've been to the Packing House a number of times. I love that.
You love it, right? It's so cool.
It's a nice hidden gem just down the street from the Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
Of course, it's right down the street. Is it near a Cheesecake Factory by any chance, Easton?
Possibly the best Cheesecake Factory down there at the Anaheim Garden Walk.
No wonder he closes this place. Good God.
Are you
Mark,
from down there?
No, I'm just a fan.
Oh, okay.
Let's go there a lot.
I think Easton goes to Magic Kingdom once every 2 weeks at least.
Once a week. I got to get that annual pass. I got to make it worth it.
You do dates down there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Date,
dude. Mark, have you done any, like, what's your biggest surprise date that you've done? Are you a big surprise guy?
Yeah, I tried to do a big surprise party for her birthday this year. I tried to do concerts as a surprise. It's a weird balance because she loves it and hates it at the same time. Like, I feel like I'm putting more effort and I'm making it more special if I don't tell her what it is ahead of time, but she hates it that I'm not telling her what it is ahead of time. But then when we get there, she's delighted by it. So it's a line you're walking, but I like to keep it a surprise.
Yeah,
I like that. Vanessa, have you ever planned a surprise date for a guy?
Yes, and I'm trying to. I think recently I just planned something. I have the worst memory. I like planning things on random occasions, not like, hey, it's your birthday or hey, it's Valentine's Day. I like a random day in the week. It makes it more romantic and special. So my boyfriend just surprised me one morning. We woke up and he's like, all right, He told me, like, pack warm clothing. I mean, it's like minus 25 in Montreal. He's like, pack warm clothing, bring a pair of boots and get in the car. And he's like, we have a 2-hour drive so you can fall asleep if you want. I'm like, I have no idea where we're going. He brought me to this place in Montreal where it's an ice rink in the forest. So the entire path is like miles of just ice skating through the forest. and it was the most romantic day. It was like kind of like a bachelor date, just like it was, there was lights and you could stop at different shacks and have like a hot chocolate and a coffee. And it was really beautiful.
Your silver fox knows what he's doing. He's good. I respect him.
I appreciate that you actually plan dates too. Like I heard you say that in there. And I feel that a lot of women look at men like you should plan the date, but I like being surprised the other way around.
I agree.
And there's girls out there listening, like plan a date for your dude because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, to give credit, Ashley is playing dates for me, and they've been pretty incredible. So before you go, I just had one question about this vacation. There's different percentages. I don't know if you've seen this that were given out to, like, for example, factors for a successful vacation. It says that picking the right destination, somewhere both partners are interested in, that's 69%.
That's high.
That's super high.
Well, these are basically... for it to be a good vacation, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So they're saying if you pick a spot where you both are interested, there's a much better chance that this is going to turn out for you.
Right.
That making, like you said, a budget so that you're going into it and one person's thinking you're staying at the Four Seasons and the other person's like, no, I was thinking more like Motel 6. You got to kind of be on the same page with spending money. The other thing, just good planning so you know where you're going. And then you got to be able to compromise and that you're serious about each other. You don't want to just go because one person likes the other person more. So those are like the successful factors. As for the top challenges, 24% said they were overwhelmed by the stress of traveling. You said that. Disagreeing on what the activities are going to be. And then we were talking before this about just backseat driving. Like how bad it is if you're stuck with someone full time and backseat driving, how it kills you. Because my wife, sometimes she'll be like, you need to speed up. You need to drive faster.
Oh, God.
And I'm thinking, you drive our kids around. Is this safe?
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
By the way, the kid of your video.
The video
that you posted of your kid with the weed.
Oh, my daughter. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Jared's face like, what?
I didn't see it.
You didn't? Okay, so there was a video that went around that went viral of a little redheaded girl saying that she told her teachers at school that her parents grow a lot of weed. Have you seen that video?
Uh-uh.
That was my daughter. So yeah, that was
She's
my daughter.
Beautiful.
It's got somewhere like...
Do you grow a lot of weed?
She
yeah,
was referring to weeds.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But the video got like...
Amazing how one little letter gets dropped off a word and it changes the meaning entirely.
It got like 200 million views. It's ridiculous. So that's my daughter.
How old is she? How old?
She's 6.
Oh, so
she's
cute.
The cutest little snitch I've ever seen. She... So
cutest little tattletale this side of Louisiana. Well, Dax, thank you so much for coming in. Yeah, anything else you want to drop, where people can find you?
I would say if you want to plan a vacation, head to visitanaheim.org. They'll help you plan a vacation. Get your vacation on down there. And then if you're interested in celeb news, like I know a lot of people are, head to HollywoodPipeline.com. We're always breaking a lot of cool photos, videos. Like you said, the set stuff has been huge for us. And just trying to make a name for myself in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, if TMZ and Instagram had a baby, they'd name it Hollywood Pipeline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dax, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dax.
All right, so we've talked about it countless times on this podcast. It's one of my top priorities. I know Jared and Vanessa feel the same way. And that is just creating healthier lifestyles for ourselves. And that's why I'm so glad that we have discovered Noom, because at the end of the day, sticking to a weight loss plan can be really, really hard, especially when you don't know how to handle the thoughts and obstacles that hold you back from making progress. Along with eating healthy, I'm also adding in a healthier overall lifestyle thanks to Noom. And you can ditch all of the expensive gym memberships, personal trainers, and nutritionists, because Noom helps educate you on a healthier lifestyle and healthier habits. And that's really what it boils down to, is education. And Noom doesn't say that you can't have certain foods, you know, aka the good stuff, the hot Cheetos, the mint chocolate chip ice cream, the Oreos. It's all about teaching moderation. And that's something that I have kind of avoided moderation recently. I've been kind of splurging and overindulging, if you will. So it's great to have Noom, because basically what Noom is a community that's there for you, a group discussions with fellow Noom members to keep you encouraged, all for less than the price of a single appointment with a nutritionist or a personal trainer. And it's on your phone whenever you need it and wherever you need it. Your goal specialist is a behavior change professional, nutrition expert, and fitness trainer all in one. It's great. At the end of the day, it's so easy. All I had to do is take the 30-second quiz on what my goals were going to be. Then they emailed me a 14-page packet that will help me reach those goals. It included anything from health, mental wellness, eating habits, new eating habits that I should be adding in, all of that kind of stuff. It's designed for results. It is out with the old habits, in with the new, in with the Noom, if you will. So what you guys can do is sign up now by going to Noom.com/Dean. That's Noom.com/Dean. And you can start your free trial. And trust me, it's great. Free trial is awesome, obviously. You can, you know, obviously you got to hear like a lot of these celebrities that have these personalized trainers or support teams, that kind of stuff. That's basically what Noom is, in your pocket. And now you can get it for free by going to Noom.com/Dean. Let's all hold ourselves a little bit more accountable, be a little bit more educated. I think it really boils down to education and understanding. I have a lot more to understand. I'm glad I have friends like Peter and Alex who are nutrition experts that I can always ask. But now you guys have Noom too. Check it out, Noom.com/Dean.
Okay, so next, I'm very excited about our special guest. If you watch The Bachelor, the hometown dates, you will recognize this wonderful woman. She's an etiquette coach. Amy Rayner is here with us. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I'm actually kind of scared to speak because I'm like, what if I don't use the right terminology? Am I going to get...
I know, I feel like I need to pronounce my words so perfectly.
You think maybe I'll bless your heart over the telephone?
So for all our audience out there, if you watch The Bachelor, which I'm sure you do, last night, Amy was on an episode of The Bachelor with Colton, and it was Hannah G's hometown.
And Alabama.
Yep. And Amy, you are an etiquette teacher, and you were teaching Colton some dinner etiquette before he went to Hannah G's house.
Exactly.
How did that come about? Did they contact you? Did you reach out?
They contacted me. Apparently, each girl gets to choose what she'd like to do on her hometown date. And so Hannah requested a private etiquette lesson for she and Colton. And so the producers emailed me the week before they came to Birmingham. So that the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Right. And I know that in the South, we do things a little bit differently sometimes, and so I think it was a sweet idea for Hannah. She wanted to, I think, sort of spotlight her Southern roots and some Southern hospitality, and she also wanted to help Colton feel comfortable when he met his her family.
Do you specialize in dinner etiquette, or table etiquette, I should say, or is it just an overall etiquette of life?
I do etiquette lessons, and I usually do 4 parts. And table manners is one of the things that we do one of the weeks.
What are the other 3?
So, I teach classes for ladies and for gentlemen. And so in the gentlemen classes, we talk about chivalrous behaviors. And we also talk about developing our inner character qualities and having respect for other people and empathy and kindness. But we talk about We do focus heavily on table manners with mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen.
So you do etiquette pretty much of somebody's life, you know, character, personality, not just table etiquette as well. Because it's funny, yeah. when I was watching last night, all I could think about was a scene from Pretty Woman where she's at the dinner table with all the very rich men that Richard Gere is friends with, and she doesn't know which is the salad fork or which
one's
the dessert fork.
That's me. I don't know what fork is which.
And she like flings the oyster, I think it was, or the meatball in somebody else's dish. It's fantastic.
Yes. Well, let me tell you sort of, in my opinion, what I think. I sort of want to clear some things up. America's kind of having a hard time with the bread and the butter.
Yes.
I'm having a hard time with the bread and butter.
Twitter's having a hard time. Everybody needs to calm down just a little bit. and we'll get to that. But I want to explain, maybe I want to say what etiquette isn't. I think that a lot of people think that etiquette is maybe a stuck-up set of rules that cause some people to look down in judgment on other people. And that is not what it is. In mm-hmm. my opinion, etiquette has 2 parts. And the first part is how we present ourselves. And those are some of the things that I talked with Colton about. Things like your eye contact and your posture and your speech and your handshake, having a nice firm handshake, and your table manners. But the second part of etiquette is, and it may even be more important than how we present ourselves, it's how we treat other people. And it's treating other people with courtesy and respect and kindness. How do we treat somebody else if we have a difference of opinion? Because you can know which fork to use when you sit down, but if you can't treat other people with kindness, really none of the other stuff really matters. So that's kind of an overview of how I view etiquette and how the lens through which I teach my classes.
Are there different etiquettes for females and males?
There are several different things. Like some of the table manners are different. Some of the napkins.
Can you point some out?
Different. Yeah. Let's pretend we're at the table and let me give y'all maybe five little table manners nuggets that you can.
Huh, I like this.
Take away. Okay. All right. So the first, I think just most importantly, let's talk about the buttering of the bread.
That is most important, really.
Right. It really, I mean, honestly, it's most important. So when you butter your bread, you want to tear off one bite and butter that one bite at a time. And I think that's what got everybody all up in arms. And I think Colton even said, if I can quote Colton, I think he said, I don't have time for that.
He just said something along the lines of, I don't know how to butter the bread. I just eat it.
Okay, I just eat it. And also, before I go any further, let me just say that also when I teach these things, I try to view them through a lens, not so much as a, I think we need to move away from thinking that's the right way to do something and that's the wrong way to do something. I think if we can view things through a lens of in different situations, there are things that are just good, better, or best for this situation that we're in. And if we don't really look at that's wrong, that's right. And we think this maybe is the best way to handle this situation. For instance, if my husband and I went to Jim and Nick's here in Birmingham, Alabama, it's a barbecue restaurant, I'm probably not going to tear off each tiny bite of my garlic cheddar biscuit and butter it at the barbecue restaurant. That's just not practical. So as long as people are familiar and know when it's the best time to exercise some of these things, hopefully that'll make people feel more comfortable in the situations and environments that they're in.
So hypothetically speaking, if I'm dating Vanessa and I'm going to her parents' house to meet her parents for the first time, I should be grabbing bread and then ripping off little pieces and buttering each one? It seems exhausting, Amy.
You're tearing off quarter-sized pieces. Well, let me say this, if it's exhausting, so let's be at that table with Vanessa and her parents, and I think it might just be best to tear off one bite at a time so that you can manage smaller bite-sized pieces, so that if her father asks you a question, mm-hmm. you don't have a huge mouthful of food. So maybe that's one of those situations where it is best to tear it off bite by bite.
All right, that's fair. So what are one of the other four nuggets?
Okay, let's go on to a couple other nuggets. If someone asks for the salt, what would you pass them?
The salt?
The salt.
If someone asks for the salt, you have passed them the salt and the pepper. And the salt and pepper are always passed together.
Oh.
So there's just...
But who made up that rule?
You know, I really can't tell you who made up all of these things, but I went through an etiquette class when I was in seventh grade, and these things have been around since then.
No,
so,
I like that. I think it's a good gesture. I like that.
Yeah. Okay, there's one. Okay, now this is helpful. This is super helpful. You're going to have to use your imagination. But when you're at a crowded, let's say that we're at a round table. Let's say we're at Vanessa's house again with her family, and we're at a round table, and you sit down, and it's a crowded table, and you can't decide which one is your drink. And that happens so often because things are so close. If you will make a lowercase b and a lowercase d with your hands, and mm-hmm. imagine that you're putting those lowercase letters on either side of a plate, the side where your lowercase b is, that is the side where your bread plate would go. And the side with the lowercase d is your drink. So that's a great way to be able to distinguish which one is your bread plate and which one is your drink.
Because I can't make a... Wait, what?
Okay. Wait, so am I putting D before B?
Are you making a lowercase B and a lowercase D with your hand?
Yeah.
Yes. So
yes.
Because so I can't make a lowercase E with my right hand. It'd be it'd be backwards.
B. Wait. B with bread.
Wait, B for bread? I think you said D.
I'm sorry. B is on your left hand. The lowercase B is on your left hand.
Oh.
And the lowercase D is on your right hand.
Oh.
Making sense?
B. How do I make a lowercase B?
B is like a bubble going towards the right side.
So like this?
Yeah, exactly like that.
This is proving to be more difficult than I thought it would be.
You obviously are, yeah, you didn't look us up on the podcast. We're reality TV personalities. I can't tell my C's between my D's. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, let's move on to nugget number four. You've been to a restaurant before where sometimes your utensils are rolled up in your napkin.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to unroll the napkin and place your napkin in your lap. And then you are putting your own utensils out. Very easy way to remember which side your forks will go on is fork is spelled F-O-R-K and the word left is spelled L-E-F-T. They both have four letters. And then the spoon and the knife, those each have five letters and they go on the right, which also has five letters. So that's an easy way.
Easy.
That's a really good trick.
That's a good nugget. And then last nugget has to do with your napkin. You unfold a dinner napkin one time, so it's a nice large rectangle, and then gentlemen place the dinner napkin over their left leg while ladies place the dinner napkin over both legs. And you do this so that if someone comes to the table to visit, a gentleman can stand up and shake hands, and he can hold on to the napkin with his left hand that's on his left leg, and he mm-hmm. can extend his right hand in a handshake.
Oh, so you keep the right
and
hand
And for the
free.
Ladies?
The ladies stay seated.
Oh.
But the lady can
stay seated, Vanessa.
Yeah, no, I'm like, no, that's, I'm going in straight for the hug.
Right, but then if you go, okay, so whenever you get up from the table, if you're a one who's getting up and you're going in for the hug, you can take your napkin and you place it in your chair.
Okay.
So your napkin, and if you excuse yourself from the table for any reason, your napkin always goes in your chair. And at the end of the meal, when you're completely finished, you loosely fold your napkin back up and place it to the left of your plate.
So what's your opinion on if I'm eating an olive and there's a pit, am I spitting that out?
Okay, there's a rule that says that however something goes in your mouth is the way that something comes out. For instance, if you're eating chicken and you have a tiny bit of a bone, you would put that bone back on the fork and remove it and put it to the side of your plate. So with an olive, if you put that olive in your mouth with your hand, then you would gently take that out with your fingers.
It does kind of conceal the action. And that makes sense. Instead of just like spitting it back on your plate, you know?
Right. Making a big production of it.
So, Amy, do you have any advice for not just physical etiquette, but maybe a tip for etiquette when you're meeting someone's parents or somebody's friends, your significant other's friends for the first time, something that the audience can use?
You know, I said this to Colton, and I did not get to spend, I probably spent from start to finish, our whole taping time was probably 2 hours. And he was delightful. And I could see when he and Hannah were together and when they were laughing and when they would kind of walk off to the side and I might be talking to producers about something else. It was so genuine and so real to see that the way that they interacted with each other. I think what I would say to people who are meeting a significant other's family for the first time is be yourself mm-hmm. and be genuine. Be real, be fair, be kind. All of these things, just let your real self shine through.
Oh, that's fair enough. I like that. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me. I enjoy getting to talk to you.
No, absolutely. And then is there anywhere you want to tell the audience to go to find more about you or your etiquette classes?
Absolutely. I teach classes in Birmingham, Alabama, but I'm working on an ambassador program right now, and I am going to be delivering the lesson content through video segments, but it will be a revenue share program where I'll be hiring people to facilitate my curriculum in other cities. So if that interests anybody, I'd love for you to check out my website. It's etiquettewithamyrainer.com.
That's great. All right.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Amy.
Okay. Thank y'all for your
time. Thanks, Amy.
Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Do you know of an etiquette that I learned? Did you ever watch the movie A Bronx Tale?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so you know where I don't remember their characters' names, but like his father figure or whatever was like, well, you know, if this one's a real one, if you open the car door for her and then you walk around your car and she opens the door for you from inside, you know she's a keeper. Did you ever watch that? Do you remember that scene? And I guess that's how I learned it, but I love opening my boyfriend's car door when he opens the door for me. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna open the door for you from inside. And I feel like that's a cute little gesture that girls should do.
Oh, I like that.
You can't do that as much anymore because the automatic.
Right. It's a whole different world now.
You know, my wife does.
What do you mean?
Because when I unlock the car, it unlocks all the doors. So.
No, I know, but I want to physically open the door for him. Like, I open the door and I push it open.
That's a tough little maneuver you're doing there.
But here's
No. She's saying what happens is, hold on, let's get this picture.
Okay.
He's sitting in the driver's seat. She's in the passenger seat. He stops the car, parks the car, gets out of his door, goes around the car to open up the passenger side door for his girlfriend. But as he's doing that, Vanessa opens up the door at the same time, correct?
No.
So we go to a restaurant. He opens my door. I sit down. And as he's walking to his door, the driver's seat door, I reach over. I open the door and I push the door open just a little bit. So it can be like, you know, like a little gesture of like, oh, I opened the door for you too.
I'm just saying that's not easy from the passenger seat to reach all the way over and push it open.
Push it completely open, but just like, you know, just a little bit to show that you appreciate it.
That's why it's a good gesture, because it shows effort.
I will say, my wife goes the extra mile when I open the door for her. She gets in and starts the car to see if there's a bomb in there.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. So she'll be the one that blows up and you'll be safe?
And I'll get away to tell her.
Wow. That's a keeper right there. That's somebody who's seen one too many movies. Easton, you have met your soulmate.
He writes American Top 40. I mean, he's a national treasure. We need to make sure he's safe.
Seriously. Yeah. Nothing can happen to you, Easton. You need to be protected.
Number one song in the U.S.
Number one song in the U.S. and A.
Ladies, 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 I'm sure you can all relate. There is nothing like wearing a comfortable bra. And let me tell you, Third Love has the perfect fit. They use millions of real women's measurements. Third Love designs its bras with breast shape and size in mind for an impeccable fit. And let me tell you, a really incredible feeling. And they have more sizes than most other brands. Third Love is the industry leader with 70 sizes. You heard that, 70 sizes, including its signature half cup sizes. All you have to do is take their Fit Finder quiz, answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit. And this is the best part. There is a 100% fit guarantee because of Third Love. Well, every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, but let me tell you, I'm pretty sure you will, you can return it and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. What a beautiful cause. They have a new cotton collection that I'm actually wearing right now, and they are the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn. You can get their cotton t-shirt bras and cotton underwear. It took 2 years to develop the perfect cotton collection, which is made from a premium cotton called Pima. The result is a line of incredibly soft, smooth, and breathable bras and underwear you'll want to wear every single day, just like me. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. That's such an incredible deal. I mean, you're not going to want to miss this. Go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A, to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove, thirdlove.com/Vanessa, VANESSA for 15% off today.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
All right, well, I wanted to get to a topic that we teased a little bit earlier in the podcast. Vanessa, did you watch the Oscars on Sunday?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but I missed the most significant part of the Oscars.
Tell me you did not miss the
yes,
duo.
Yes, I did. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I did.
You missed Shallows?
Yeah, and that was the only, 5 minutes I missed. I don't remember what I was doing, but I remember hearing them. I'm like, oh, are they singing together? Anyway, you want to recap it for me?
I mean, it's really hard to put into words, honestly. It's one of those moments you just had to see for yourself.
I saw the ending where she looks at him, and she's like, doing this with her eyelashes.
Well, I will say, let me preface this by saying, I do think Lady Gaga might be a little overdramatic at times. I don't think I'm breaking news with that. When she won Shallow, the best song, everybody knew it was coming, and she worked so hard for that moment. I'm happy for her, but it was like she won the Pulitzer Prize. but that moment, Vanessa, oh my God, because we talked about the podcast last week how Lady Gaga ended her engagement.
Has
a new tattoo, but even the tattoo, it's a little ambiguous, whatever. But fact that she ended her engagement, very sad, very sad. We're not rooting for any relationships to end. Moving forward from that, so it was awesome because they didn't even intro the song. That's how badass A Star Is Born and this song Shallow is. There was no freaking intro, okay? Every other song, the artist came out, talked up about the song, and then they introed the song. And then the artist came out and sang it. They didn't even do that for Shallow. What happened was,
they just started?
Somebody won the award. I forget what award it was. And they cleared off the stage. And all of a sudden, there was a camera behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, what's this? And then all of a sudden, the curtain opened, and they pulled a piano out on the stage. And you can hear Shallow start playing. And all of a sudden, it was just the piano on stage with two mics. And then the camera went past the piano to where the audience was. And then they showed Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper get up from their seats and walk on stage. It was holy shit. That's
I'm
what
so
it was.
Sad I missed it.
Oh, you have to YouTube it. I've already watched it three times.
I will YouTube it.
So they sit down.
Okay, so what's breaking news?
I'm sure you've seen it all over news publications this couple days. The sexual tension between those two people. There's no way they're faking that. And if I was Bradley Cooper's girlfriend,
oh,
he would never be allowed to leave the house again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I even asked Ashley, I said, what would you do if you saw another woman look at me the way that Lady Gaga is looking at Bradley Cooper right now?
And is she looking at him like that, or is she looking at him because it's a performance?
And
like you said,
character.
She exaggerates.
Now, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking maybe they're in character. I'm sure there was some dramatics to it. But you know how when you watch two people together and you just think to yourself, oh, God, there is something there. That's what it was. That's why people are freaking out, because it's hard to fake that. And even Bradley Cooper said something. He was on the Stephen Colbert show a couple days before the Oscars, and he said, Stephen Colbert asked him, will Bradley Cooper be performing or will Jackson Maine be performing? You know, is he mm-hmm. going to be performing as mm-hmm. Jackson Maine, or is it Bradley Cooper? You're just going to sing it yourself. And he said, Jackson Maine is no more. He was like, no, he's mm-hmm. gone. His quote is, he's gone. I'm not going to try to get back, you know, into character. But, you know, I will be me singing. And so that obviously made people think, well, Bradley.
Yeah.
And there was, I shit you not, Vanessa, there was a moment when they were on stage. It looked like they were going to kiss.
Mm-hmm, it did.
They both, it was weird because she,
oh my God.
She was staring at him.
I'm getting anxiety for his girlfriend.
Oh, I don't blame you. But, well, I'll tell you in a second. There's an article that I'll read to you. But she was looking at him and he leaned in to sing into the mic because there was a part where he was on one mic and she was on the other. And then she did her solo part and he came around the piano and then sat next to her on the piano and they started singing together. But he leaned in for the mic, and it looked like she was leaning in for a kiss. I can't make this shit up. Now, unless they rehearsed that, and his girlfriend was okay with that, because, hey, listen, baby, it's all for the, you know, it's all for the movie, it's all for the moment, it means nothing. Whew, I don't know if I could buy that.
Yeah, after the whole thing happened with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, I mean, I would be anxious a little bit as
totally.
Bradley Cooper. Girlfriend, just because, I mean, you don't know, like, yeah, you do get into character, but I think when two people just have really good chemistry, but then again, is it the characters that had good chemistry, or was it the actors that had good chemistry?
I think it was the actors, is why the chemistry was so good on and off screen. I hate saying
that. I watched Lady Gaga's documentary, and she basically didn't even have to audition. Bradley Cooper just called her and says, I'm making a movie and you're gonna star in it.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. But then I heard, I think pre-Oscar show, somebody said that Bradley Cooper wanted Beyonce to originally play Allie in the movie. And it would have been interesting to see their chemistry if Bradley Cooper continued to play Jackson Maine. But Beyonce, I think, turned it down for whatever reason. And the thing about Lady Gaga, and like you say, when two people act together and they have this chemistry on screen, I mean, whether people admit it or not, it translates off screen. And mm-hmm. Point A would be on the Oscars, Rami Malek wins Best Actor. He starts kissing the girl to his left, his girlfriend.
Well, did he ever? He couldn't stop kissing her.
And it's the girl that played his girlfriend in Bohemian Rhapsody. And they met on set.
And they're dating now.
There's got to be something about being on those movie sets, because this happens so mm-hmm. often.
How can it not?
I know of a friend of a friend of mine who basically was dating this actor, and he would always fall in love with his co-stars, and she was so insecure every time he would sign on to a new movie. And now he's dating another one of his co-stars.
Yeah, it's scary. But mm-hmm. now here's the alternative, because I think a lot of people also shipped Leonardo DiCaprio and
Angelina.
No. Oh my God. Kate Winslet. After Titanic, everybody wanted them together, and they have ended up becoming. Even as a boy, I was like, yeah, like I want them to be together. Jack and Rose, come on, Vanessa, you didn't ship them. I can't believe I'm saying ship. Who am I becoming?
You know who's a good example of the onset romance, and I think she's fantastic, is Jennifer Garner. If you were to get involved with Jennifer Garner, I'd be concerned when she goes off to do a movie, because she was doing Felicity when she met Scott Foley and married him.
Okay.
Then they got divorced. And then she was doing Alias, and she got with Michael Vartan. And they got together. And then they split up. And they started dating Ben Affleck, who she met on the set of Pearl Harbor and Daredevil.
I forgot then about they got Daredevil because I was thinking to myself, where did she meet Ben Affleck?
Yeah. Telling you, every one of them.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
Elektra.
And then, of course.
That little saucy minx.
That fell apart.
It is nerve-wracking, though. But maybe Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga are more like Leo and Kate, where maybe they're just best friends, because there was also an article on Cosmopolitan saying, because Bradley's girlfriend, her name is it Irina or Irina?
Well, Irina and her Irina.
Irina Shayk?
I think it's just Shake.
Shake.
Yeah, I think it's Shake.
Okay, Irina Shayk. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that really poorly. Saying that it pretty much was an article talking about how she felt during that moment watching Lady Gaga and her boyfriend Bradley Cooper up on stage. And apparently she was fine with it. And it says, like, a source close to Us Weekly said that Irina knows that Bradley and Gaga are artists. It's a nuance for her. They were in character putting on an Oscar performance. So maybe they're just really good friends and the three of them.
But do you think she would actually admit if she felt uncomfortable?
Hell no.
Yeah. So I mean, you don't want to. I think we want to sometimes not admit what we're feeling, but it can come out and it can display it in other ways. So we don't know what the relationship is like. We don't know what kind of conversations she may have had with him. If it were me, I would definitely be having a sit down conversation with Bradley Cooper after that performance.
Vanessa, I feel like if it was you, Bradley would have no more balls. It would be chopped off in your hands. And be like, try that one more time. Try it one more time.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Because you're just a very empowered woman. And, you know, I can see that. What's your boyfriend's name again? John? Is it?
Josh.
Josh. Oh, yeah. If Josh ever tried that
he knows better.
He'd be on that pond alone in the forest, sleeping there for weeks.
Okay, let's chill. Chill. I have a very honest relationship with him, and he knows my insecurities, and I know his insecurities, and we don't try to play like we're too cool, and we're, you know, he's Rico Suave, macho man that doesn't have any like insecurities of his own. And I think that's what made us so... that's what made our relationship so strong from the very beginning, where we were just like, this is what it is. This is what I am. This is the shit that I had to deal with in my past. And we try to work through it. And whenever there's something that does come up, I mean, I was reading this quote and I want to find it because it's so true.
Are you a big quote person?
Yeah.
So it says, Are you? Yeah. Totally.
Much of our childhood may be unsayable, but it's not inexpressible. And transference lets the story be told in spite of our muteness.
I'm sorry. Can you translate that muteness. For?
Yeah. So who doesn't know muteness? We act out what we cannot quite cry out. So if someone is showing you something, it's because they may not be able to express it, but they're showing you what they're feeling in their behaviors. So I don't know why I brought this up.
While we were talking about maybe Irina, Bradley's girlfriend, is a little nervous to share some insecurities she has about her BF and Gaga.
Yeah, because once you voice it, it becomes real, and then it becomes scary.
Totally. I think that's like every single one of us, right? We don't want to vocalize our anxiety or our fears because then they become reality.
Do you want to ask me these 10 questions?
All right, cool. Yeah, I want to get into a little segment. I was thinking about the podcast and, you know, Vanessa, I'm always a sucker for nice little question segments. I did this earlier. I think I did it with you and Dean.
We did.
A few months ago, right?
Yeah.
I think it's always nice just to get to know our host a little bit better. So I'm calling this 10 questions with Vanessa Grimaldi. Easton, do you have a little soundbite for me for this? Maybe a very epic one. I like that. 10 questions with Vanessa Grimaldi, hosted by
this sounds intense.
Jared Haben. All right, 10 questions. Question number one. These are very easy. So there was a lot of controversy this past week between Mike Fleiss and Khloe Kardashian. I don't know. I'm sure you guys saw. He was tweeting that they were in talks to be the Bachelorette. Vanessa, you didn't see any of this?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Mike Fleiss, who's pretty much like the father of the Bachelor, he was tweeting that he was in talks with Khloe Kardashian and Kris Jenner about becoming the next Bachelorette. Kim Kardashian retweeted it and said fake news, and then there was a little Twitter battle. And pretty much Khloe Kardashian is not going to be the next
Bachelor. Khloe says, stop using me as clickbait.
Stop. Hey, you know, good tweet. Fine. I get it.
Smart.
Having said that, God, I wish she was the next Bachelorette. It would have been the most talked about.
That would be the most dramatic season ever.
It would have been not only the most dramatic season of The Bachelorette. It would have been probably maybe the most talked about television event in recent history. Mm. Khloe Kardashian as The Bachelorette?
The Bachelorette.
Holy crap. There would have been a lot of celebrities on that season. Tons of celebrities. So anyway, my question is, because of that, it made me thinking, what celebrity would you want to see as the next Bachelorette, Vanessa?
Bachelorette or Bachelor?
Either. Next lead.
Oh, it's a tough one. Who is always single? I can't.
I mean, I have one. She's not currently single, but it would be great TV.
Who?
T-Swift.
Oh, yes. Taylor. You know what? Yeah, I would totally love. Or Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande? That would be a big one.
Yeah, but I do love some T-Swift. I was just listening to her album before the podcast. T-Swift, and for a Bachelor.
I didn't think about Bachelor. I don't know if there's any leads that come to my mind. What about Zac Efron?
Nah.
Okay, never mind.
Nah, I feel like he's too, he has too much, like, swag, and no.
Well, that's why. He's got a lot of swag.
Yeah, I know, but that's why. I would want someone who seems a little bit more, less, you know.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, next.
All right, next. What's your favorite rom-com?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, that's
and
such a good
on,
one.
Hold on, another one. Another one is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I apparently like titles that have the number 10.
10 in it. It's obviously your favorite number. I'm a big 10 Things I Hate About You fan. Oh, Heath Ledger in that
Heath
movie.
Heath Ledger, yes.
That hair. God, what I would give to look like that man from that movie. And that scene where obviously he's singing You're Just Too Good to Be True, walking down the stairs.
To be true.
Oh, God. It just gives me the chills every time. All right, number three. Do you like a bad boy or you like a nice guy?
I like a nice guy. Bad boy tendencies.
You have bad boy tendencies?
Yeah. Like a nice guy, but with bad boy tendencies. Mm-hmm. That's like, ooh, yeah, come to mama.
Oh, damn. All right, number four. I feel like this podcast, we should probably introduce a new dating slang every week. You know, we ran a couple down a few months ago.
We did. I like this idea.
But I think we should introduce one per podcast to see what people, you know, are getting themselves into by being in the dating world in 2019. So, Vanessa, do you know what the term stashing means?
Yeah. Is it when a person has multiple people on their list of interests?
I'm sorry, that is wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, stashing.
I thought it was like stashing, like a purse of, you know.
I think that might be benching.
Oh, okay.
Like you have people on the bench ready to go. So we'll learn about that next week. But stashing for this week is a term for when someone you're dating refuses to introduce you to anyone he or she is close to. Sort of like stashing you in a drawer.
Oh, see, I was thinking the reverse, like, oh, I like all these people. I'm just going to stash them in my purse and then I'm going to pick one out for today and then another one out for tomorrow.
Oh, gotcha. See, if anybody's like for our audience out there, if anybody is stashing you currently,
you don't want to date them.
No, you do not want to date them at all.
You want to be going to hometown dates.
Oh, hometown dates. Yeah, no more stashing. If somebody's stashing out there, we have one thing to say. Get rid of them. Here we go. Number five. Question number five. Vanessa Grimaldi, this is going to get a little personal. Have you ever made out with two or more people in one day?
No.
No?
I mean, if my dog counts.
No, that's disgusting. You've made out with your dog?
Yeah. Does your dog not kiss you on the mouth?
No, on the face, not on the lips.
Oh, I kiss my dog in the lips all the time. No, I've never kissed two people out in the same day.
In the same day? Mark, yeah. Easton, you want to share your dirty little secrets?
Yeah, high school that happened, yeah.
Ooh, you mm-hmm. pimp.
Ooh, yeah. Really? That's not what I was expecting.
You bad boy, Mark. Easton?
Yeah, I did too.
I knew you would.
What? Yeah.
Good for you.
When I was 19.
Jared?
Yes, I did it when I was probably around 19 or 20. I'll never forget it because I felt like the coolest I think I've ever felt in my entire life. I'll never forget because I was, it's so bad. I can't believe I'm even going to admit this. I was with friends at a TGI Fridays, and one of the girls that we worked with was very attractive, and I walked her back to her car, and we started kissing at the car, and this was, maybe I was, when was I? I was either 18 or like a little bit, I think I was 18, and so we made out at her car, and then later that night, I went over to my friend's house after, you know, TGI Fridays, long night, crazy night, guys. And there was another girl that was attractive that I knew that we, that I also worked with.
And, oh, my God, it
was,
Jared,
I know. I was 18, okay?
I don't know what's worse, the fact that you're at TGI Fridays or that you kissed two girls at, in the same night.
No, and you know what? It must have been when I was, like, 22, actually, thinking about it now, because I was drinking.
That makes it worse.
I know. It makes it far worse, but I was of age. And so, anyway, long story short, I went back to my buddy's house, and we were sitting on the couch, and then she just started kissing me, and we kind of, like, made out, and I was like, holy crap. This is the second girl I'm making out with tonight.
If you weren't in a relationship with any of them, then hey,
no,
you got that out of your system, and now you're good with one woman for the rest of your life.
The first girl was somebody that I kind of dug, and was like, oh, that's why I walked her back to her car. And then the second girl was just somebody who was just at a party, and we were just hanging out. We were talking, you know how you're at a buddy's house, and all of a sudden you're talking to somebody for like an hour about like the universe, and you know, you get in that deep conversation. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom. I was like, holy hell, how did this happen?
Trying to get some bottomless appetizers out of you, huh?
Obviously, she really, yeah. The chicken wings, that's always a good option. All right, moving on. Never mind. Here we go. Number six. This is kind of superficial, but here we go. Do you like big muscles, athletic body, dad bod, or skinny?
I don't have a type.
No physical type?
No. Actually, I will say this. If the guy is way too ripped, I don't find that attractive.
You're not a big muscle guy.
No. Spends way too much time at the gym and probably way too much time looking at himself in the mirror. Not very, not my type.
Do you like tattoos?
Ooh, I dig tattoos.
Is that question seven or not?
No, it's not question seven. Sleeve.
Then we have 11 questions.
That
was another question.
That was like 6A.
Oh, six All right, points. Six
it was like a very body
okay.
central type
okay,
question.
Okay, next.
All right, number seven. The term couple goals is thrown around so much today, but to you, Vanessa, which famous couple exemplifies couple goals to you? Pretty much, who's your favorite celebrity couple?
I really love Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
That's what I would say.
They're very much out there. She's so outspoken. And he made a speech about her once for this award that she won. And it was so genuine. And he started crying in the middle of his speech. And I mean, they're just open about the relationship. And I admire couples like that, that don't pretend like they have it all together.
Yeah, they're awesome together. Mark, can you guess what my favorite celebrity couple is? Who they are?
Tom and Giselle.
Good job. Moving on, number eight. Vanessa, do you walk around naked in front of your significant other or vice
yes.
versa?
Yes.
Both?
Yeah.
He just lets it hang out, huh?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, I don't know if I should be speaking for him, but
that's true, but you walk around.
I definitely do. Yes.
I guess there is a difference between a female body and a male body. I mean, there's a big difference. I feel like the female body is just far more attractive. Let's just be honest. The male body, like, I look at myself naked sometimes and I'm like, oh, God. You know, I feel like I'm you know, average to above average, but ooh, just a lot of hair. So much hair.
Oh, I like hair, though.
I like hair, too, but, you know, like, from the waist up, I like it. Like, I actually like having a patchy beard. I feel like it gives me a little character.
Do you have back hair?
No, I don't have back hair. Thank God. As I get older, it's starting to come in a little bit on my lower back. This is way too much.
I love how I turned this around on you. Okay, number eight. Are we at eight or nine?
That was number eight. Number nine. This is, again, you don't have to talk about your personal experience, but just your overall thoughts on it. Sex on the first date, yes or no?
Depends. I mean, I don't think I have. No, I have not had sex on the first date. Because that would have been. Actually, no, I'm no.
Oh, you had to think
but
about
I'm
that
not
for a second.
It. No, I'm trying to think. I'm like, have I? I haven't, but I'm not against it.
All right, fair enough. Not against it. I like it. All right, number 10, final question today. Not a lot of people know this, but you are on Fear Factor. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
I was. So is there one thing, what would be the one thing going into Fear Factor, because I'm sure you've thought about this, what would you have refused to do?
That's an excellent question, Jared.
I try.
Yeah. I think I would have refused. I remember watching one episode where there was plexiglass over a swimming pool and they had put maybe three or four holes where you could have went up and got air. And I think I probably would have asked Danielle at the time. She was my partner on Fear Factor. I probably would have asked her if she felt more comfortable swimming in the pool where it was covered with plexiglass, because I guess I'm a little bit claustrophobic.
No,
but
right,
I was ready to put shit in, like, beetles and at a blender and
eat everything.
Eat everything. And
yeah, because they have like cow penis that you have to eat and all this just. I mean, maybe that's a delicacy. I don't know, but there's a lot. So, just for example,
cow penis.
Right?
Cows don't have penis.
Cows don't have penis.
What?
Cows are female.
Oh yeah.
Wait, all cows are female?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
You got your cows and you got your bulls.
Oh, bull penis. I'm sorry, a bull's penis. Okay. My bad.
I feel like Dean would have known that.
Dean would definitely have
He's
known that.
He's eating bull penis right now, wherever he is.
Oh, that he is. All right, you guys want to move on to a couple emails?
I do have a really good email here that I'd love to get your thoughts on from Anonymous, and those are always the best ones. She says, I met this guy, and one night he just swept me off my feet. He grabbed me, in a good way, so that he could not kiss me, and we started making out. We went to the bedroom. We didn't go all the way, but we were cuddling naked. And went on to open up about his finances, his family, his work, his ex, his friends. He said he was comfortable opening up to me and was a little scared to be feeling this way. A couple of days later, I go on social media and he blocked me, deleted me from Instagram, Snapchat. Okay, I get it. I'm being ghosted. But why do guys get weirdly, really vulnerable and emotional in the moment and then the polar opposite the next morning? It's just weird.
That is weird.
It is weird.
Jared, can you explain?
It is weird. I actually can't explain this.
No, to me, if I'm in that situation, naked cuddling and discussing finances and family, I think I'm all into this relationship.
Right?
I'm really interested in where this is going.
Or at
maybe
least
he just needed someone to literally open up to and strip down naked and expose himself.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that he would text her? Why would he completely ghost her and block her? That's my question.
Yeah, that's extreme.
It's so extreme.
So that makes me wonder if it's when he said he was a little scared that he was feeling this way, maybe that's it. Maybe he got so scared, like, oh my God, what did I tell her? Oh my God, why did I do that? Oh my God, I opened up too much.
Or,
but why block her? I mean, that's just cowardly.
Or maybe he's in a relationship.
That's a real possibility.
Yeah, there's
that's
something there.
Where my mind went. You know, one night, because I met this guy one night. He grabbed me, couldn't resist me. We didn't go all the way. Maybe he felt a little guilty and started opening up. Maybe he wasn't able to open up for quite some time. And then the next morning, he's like, holy shit, what did I do?
What did I do?
Maybe he's with somebody he doesn't feel comfortable talking to. He felt comfortable talking to you, but now he's still with that other person. I think that explains the blocking.
That's because it's so
extreme. And that probably explains why they didn't have sex.
I agree, because maybe he had a moment of guilt.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'm not actually cheating.
Right.
Because you know how it's so technical for some guys.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's hilarious. That's a really good point, Vanessa. That's a really good point.
Well,
Yeah.
Anyway, Dana emails, what are your thoughts on going on a second date when you really didn't feel a spark on the first date? I'm torn and I can't decide if I'll just be wasting my time and his, but I have heard stories of people taking a while before they feel the chemistry.
Go on a second date.
Do it. Yeah, of course. People are just so awkward and weird on their first date and even on their second date. I would go until like a third date. And then if you're really not feeling it and if he's feeling it and wants to go on a date with you and you're like, oh, like you just want to cancel on the date. Just then at that point, I wouldn't go on a date, but I would definitely try.
I have somebody who's very close to me, went on a date from an online dating app or website, met this guy, liked him on the first date. Wanted to go on a second date. Second date did not go well. Did not like second date at all. So she was like, I don't know if I should go on a third date. Goes on the third date. Now she's married.
I knew it. Well, you know, I went on a date. I usually go on really good dates because I'm like, I'm able to break down the person on the first date because I want them, like I'll burp in front of them. I'm like, come on, let's just like be ourselves. Let's not try to audition, you know?
Can't imagine why you're so single for so long.
Yeah, I went on a date with this one guy years ago, and I remember being like, yeah, everyone's saying he's such a good person, but I just didn't feel it. And I guess he felt my energy was off, and he had asked me out on a second date. And I remember being at work thinking, I really don't want to go on this date. An hour later, he sends me a message saying like, hey, I don't think it's a good idea if we go on a second date. And I was like, the universe read my energy. And that was it.
And then bada bing, bada boom. Bada that was boom. It. Bada boom.
And then I ended up on The Bachelor.
And so, then I was engaged on The Bachelor.
So the consensus is, go on the second date. What do you got to lose? Yeah. We're not that busy. Go ahead. Do it. Yeah. Have a good time.
45 minutes to an hour. Yeah. That's all you got to lose. Yeah. All right. Well, that will do it for the emails, and that will do it for today's episode. Some big thank yous. First of all, thank you to Dax Holt for joining us today. Yes, and you can definitely check out Baycation. Big thank you to Amy Rayner, the etiquette teacher.
It's good etiquette to applaud for these people.
Etiquette, yes. Everybody deserves an applause.
Amy Rayner would be so proud of us.
She'd be very proud of us right now. Pass the salt and pepper together no matter whether they ask for those individually or not.
We want to give a very big, big, big thank you to Noom, Third Love, and ZipRecruiter. Make sure to visit Noom.com/Dean to start your trial today and get those bras at ThirdLove.com/Vanessa for 15% off. And make sure to also visit ZipRecruiter at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/date.
Mark Easton, you guys are incredible. Thank you, Dean, for traveling around the world and doing your thing. Vanessa, beautiful as always. Thank you so much for joining us. You're incredible. Aww. Guys, please join the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, Help I Suck at Dating. We love your interaction. Please keep sending us your emails. You know that's our favorite part of the show. And we will see you next week, where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.